invite you to remain standing a moment longer as we read this morning's gospel message. I'll be reading from the gospel according to Mark, the 13th chapter, verses 24 through 37. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. This would probably not have been one of the passages of scriptures you would have expected to be proclaimed on the first Sunday of Advent. This was not manger Jesus. This was not the expectation, the discussions, the angels coming to Mary or to Joseph. This is part of Mark's gospel, the apocalyptic literature that we find in Mark's gospel. It's the culmination of the famous, or some might say the less famous, kind of end times predictions that Jesus is giving his disciples in Mark's gospel. He is in Jerusalem, and it's almost as if they step out of the temple and begin to look at the strength of the temple. It's massive walls and the stones, and maybe they're taking in all of the walled city of Jerusalem and thinking about how much energy and effort, how much time has been put into this magnificent building that Jesus begins to tell them this isn't going to be around forever. And of course, this is shocking to them. And so this language gets to be scary, and it's not the language or the stories that we would equate with our first Sunday in Advent. But it is so vitally important for us. Why? Because a lot of what's going on around us outside the walls of our church, or churches, you see, is being pushed consumerism. I mean, when did the decorations, the trappings, the reds, the greens, the beautiful greenery, the trees, when did the lights show up in the stores? When were they made available for us to begin to purchase and to encourage us to spend more on? That consumer-driven season that is equated with Christmas out in the world has had us going at Christmas for a number of weeks, and it has not been about the birth of the Christ child. It's been about spend, spend, spend. It's been about get busy. It's that time of year. There's been very little or next to none reflection about Christ comings into the world. Yes, I put an S on coming. Because I think also so often we think about manger Jesus, about the birth of the baby in Bethlehem. And yes, that's what we will celebrate on Christmas Eve and during the season of Christmas. But Advent, you see, is about preparing. It's about having an expectant joy. It's about having a hope. It's about preparing our lives, not just for one coming of Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas time, but it's for his comings. So in other words, Jesus has promised to come again. And that's what he's talking about here in this passage of Scripture. No one's going to know when he comes again. This is a part of the preparation for us. And so we need to be mindful of that. But there's yet another coming. And I suggest to you, much like we may have heard in some of the testimonies, the witness, the joys and celebrations that we heard here today, we saw glimpses of Jesus' everyday comings into people's lives as they begin to reflect God's love, God's grace for God's kingdom and all those who are a part of this world. So we, as people who celebrate and reflect during the Advent season, should be preparing, yes, for baby Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem, the one who will lie in the manger, but also for his second coming and those everyday comings into our lives. This text is about the future. Jesus has got the disciples a little confused. They can't imagine how the temple could be knocked down, how it could be rebuilt in 3 days, these stories that Jesus fills their minds with. But I think what Jesus really wants those disciples, and hence us 2,000 years later, I think what Jesus wants those disciples to think about is this season of preparation. In other words, what are they doing to prepare to receive Jesus again? They haven't thought along those lines. Have you and I thought about those the second coming? Is he going to wait for Christmas? Will it be next year or 20 years from now or another 2,000 years? I mean, we can pick up books and magazines and hear people on the radio making predictions about when Jesus will come back again. And so those kinds of things are exciting in a way. They make us curious. People will get out their calculators. They'll get out their almanacs. They'll get out their calendars. We get so sidetracked, just as the disciples were, trying to figure out what Jesus is talking about, that we miss his whole point. Look at what he does. He doesn't want us to escape the world. He doesn't want us to go into hiding, to act as if the world and its challenges are not going on around us. He wants us to continue preparing for his coming. He wants us to not worry about trying to predict the end times, but to live the life that we have. To live in a relationship with God that is meaningful not only to us, but to those around us, and those around us whom we are able to influence as we, the church, step out into the world. You know, I want to share, let me find my, this was some information. You know, some of you pass through all the want ads and things that are the inserts in your Sunday paper, but some of you look at the USA Weekend. It's kind of a supplement little bit that gets folded up into the newspaper there. And a few years ago, there was an article that was entitled, Fear, What Americans Are Afraid Of Today. And I know you could probably add to this list, but listen to what the top percentages were a few years ago. This is a scientific poll that uncovers what many Americans are afraid of. 54% said they are either afraid or very afraid of being in a car crash. 53% are afraid or very afraid of having cancer. 50% are afraid or very afraid of inadequate Social Security. 49% are afraid or very afraid of not having enough money for retirement. 35% are afraid or very afraid of getting Alzheimer's. You know, some of these things never crossed the disciples' minds 2,000 years ago, but they had their own fears. Jesus had been using language that was scary to them, this apocalyptic kind of storytelling. He had told them he wasn't always going to be with them, that he would send or ask the Father to send an advocate, a Holy Spirit to them. And they were puzzled, much like we are. And so sometimes this puzzlement turns itself to fear. No wonder we want to predict when he's going to come back so that the fear can go away, we think. But does it? I mean, how much of these 5 bullet points, how much of that can we really anticipate effectively? I mean, sure, they're coming up with some genetic research to point to some markers, some biological markers about the propensity someone might have to develop Alzheimer's, but what they're also finding out is that there are people with these markers who never show signs, never show the condition of Alzheimer's. So even that has some sort of prediction ability isn't always foolproof. So how do we go through this life not worrying? How do we go through this life not wrapped up in fear? How do we go through this life enjoying the life that God has given us? And I think, as Jesus points out here, we have to be prepared. So how do we prepare ourselves? We develop a relationship, an ever-growing and ever-strengthening relationship with our God. He sent his Son, Jesus, into the world to show us how to live, how to love, how to share, how to get along, how to be peacemakers, how to be people of God, how to live righteously in God's will. And that is so important for us to have this relationship. And so we learn more about Jesus by sharing God's stories, by reading our Gospels, reading Scripture, and opening our minds and hearts as to how that can transform us to be these people God has created us to be. Instead of worrying about what's next, instead of worrying about the phone call from the doctor on Monday morning, what will the tests reveal? Instead of worrying about where our next mortgage payment will come from. Instead of worrying about who got what, have I got enough presents under the tree for so and so? You see, the world invades us if we're not prepared for the relationship with our God. And God has given us so much. And our priorities sometimes are askew because of the world's influences on us. We need to enjoy and appreciate and thank God for the life that God has offered you and I. We need to have a relationship with God, a relationship that we can trust and believe in, because the world doesn't offer those kinds of relationships. Trust and believe in God. Peter Berger is a Christian sociologist, and he produced a work called A Rumor of Angels, and he asked these questions in his work. He said, you know, a child wakes up in the middle of the night, nightmare, and what does the parent do with the child? Comfort, right? That's what parents do. They bring comfort to their child. Everything will be all right. Well, Berger asks the question, is that really honest? Is it really a truthful reassurance when the parent says everything will be all right? I mean, after all, when was the last murder? When was the last terrorist attack? When was the last time your wages went down in relation to the cost of living? You see, all these things that go on around us, and yet the parent, rightfully so, brings comfort to the child, saying, all is right. Peter Berger says there's this deep truth within you and I. This deep truth, this satisfaction of knowing that something is really in control. And Berger suggests it's knowing that our God is in control. So even though we get up to a bad health report, even though we come home with a bad grade on a paper or a test, our God is still our God. And our God loves us so much that not only has he come once into the world, but he's promised to come back a second time. And all things will be made right. And all those who have that kind of faith and trust and hope in a God who is a God of promises can have the assurance to know that all will be right. Think about that. That's the promise God wants you to live every day. So that even in the midst of financial struggles, even in the midst of relationships not being what you had hoped or expected for, that you can know God's relationship is sound and wanting, desiring you to trust even more every day, to grow and to understand God's love and its capacity to change not just each of our individual lives, but this world. And God wants us to share this with others. Jesus told the disciples with these telling of the parables. He said, you know, it's like this. If, you know, those of you that have military experience or know somebody that has military experience, those of you that have worked shift work and had to have relied on someone else to help out, to do things, to relieve you, it's like a sailor being assigned to watch, you know, up on the bridge, to be a lookout, or a sentry walking guard duty. That is the doorkeeper that Jesus talks about in this parable that he tells. And he doesn't say everybody else can go to sleep. Everybody else on a Navy ship can't go to sleep even though you have a lookout on the bridge. Everybody else has work to do. So often you and I worry about, we want to be the watchkeeper, the doorkeeper. We want to be the one who worries about when Jesus is coming back, thinking that if I know, if I can predict, I can have my business in order, I can do the things that God wants me to do in that short amount of time. It's just easy to do that way. And so we find ourselves being watchkeepers instead of being the people who go about the everyday role of enjoying the life God has given us. And not simply enjoying the life, not simply embracing the life, but sharing that life, that hope, the truth about God with other people. And so, my friends, I hope during this Advent season, I know we're going to celebrate the things that are out there in the world. We've heard great stories. I was out there at the Christmas parade, and there were thousands of people watching, hundreds if not thousands in the parade itself. I'm thinking, where did all these people come from? I have never seen in a small community such as this so many people gathered together for so much activity. And I was so blessed to see so many churches participating in the messages about Jesus and the importance of Jesus in people's lives, the Christmas carolers, the bands playing music. It was exciting. We're going to have that, and that's good for us. But make sure you're tending to your relationship. Don't worry about being the doorkeeper, the watchkeeper. Tend to your relationship. Trust that there are those that are watching for those signs of Jesus' coming. Do life as God has given you life. Do it powerfully. Do it openly. Do it thankfully, so that the people around you know who your God is. In just a moment, we're going to come to the Lord's table. We're going to hear the stories of God and what God is doing and has done. We're going to pray that Jesus joins us here at his table, so that as we receive this bread and the cup this morning, that we can be refreshed and renewed, that we can go out into the world and say, "World, it's not Christmas yet. We're getting ready, but it's Advent." And let's tell people what Advent is about. Let's tell people about this reason for the season, as some in the world like to say. Let's prepare ourselves and prepare our world, not just for manger Jesus, but Jesus who will come again in power and glory and might when all things are made right as God has envisioned them. In the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.